Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Ati Jahi Wafa Bank 2017 Results Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Now, your host for today's conference, Ms. Elena Sanchez. Ms. Sanchez, please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon and good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Ati Jahi Wafa Bank 2017 Results Conference Call. It's a pleasure to have with us in the call the management team of Ati Jahi Wafa Bank and the four general managers, Mr. Omar Bonjou, Mr. Boubker Jay, Mr. Ismail Douiri, and Mr. Talal Al-Balaj. The call will begin with a presentation on the results by the management team, and then we can open the call for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena. This is Ismail Douiri speaking, and I assume everyone has received already the presentation that I will comment briefly before opening up to questions. The first chapter is about the economic environment in which we have evolved during the year 2017, as well as some prospects for 2018. First thing is North Africa is maintaining a good level in terms of growth of around 2.5%. Second idea is that the Central African countries in which we operate are seeing a significant improvement in the economic situation, with economic growth back into positive territory in 2017 and trending upwards in 2018. Finally, the Western African region, in which two countries play a significant role, Côte d'Ivoire and Senegal, are posting consistently high growth levels of 6.4%, and the same level is expected for 2018. In terms of inflation in all the countries in which we operate, with obviously the significant exception of Egypt, have a very low inflation level. We will see also that in Tunisia, the inflation is higher than the average in which we operate. More focus on a number of countries. The first one is Morocco, where 2017 was a year where we returned to a more normal situation for the agricultural output, with a growth of 14% or a rebound of 14% after a contraction of 11% the previous year. A non-agricultural GDP that was lower than the recent average because of a delay in the formation of the government post-2016 elections that postponed most of the budget or the government spending, especially in the first half of 2017. Everything was delayed. Instead of having the traditional 3%-3.5% growth, we had a 2.7% growth in the non-agricultural GDP. The other important thing is that we're seeing good performance coming from exports that were up 9.4%, including tourism with a +8% performance during 2017, and a stable situation for foreign currency reserves that represent approximately 6 months' worth of imports. In terms of government spending, I remind you that we're coming from a very high situation in 2012, where budget deficit was above 7% of GDP, and now we're back to the more sustainable level of 3.5%. That is also the expectation for 2018, and a stable government debt of 65% of GDP. In terms of monetary policy, the main interest rate hasn't been changed the whole year in 2017. The same is true for mandatory reserves. There was a change in the exchange rate, but that took place in early 2018. We'll come back to that maybe during questions. Now, the interest rate environment in the longer part of the yield curve has been trending upwards with general movements from 0 to 20 basis points across the board, which made our trading obviously more complicated or different from the previous year, where we the whole curve yielded down or moved down by 20 to 50 basis points. The financial market, you probably know this, with stock market's performance of 6.44% and with liquidity that has been stable for the past 3 years, with volumes only representing approximately 11% of the market cap throughout the year, and with multiples that look a little bit more expensive than they were 2 years ago. In terms of banking, or in the banking industry, the most notable element is that volumes in terms of loans are accelerating. So instead of witnessing an average growth of 2.5% in the years 2012 to 2016, 2017 was a year where average loan growth was 4.5%. The final month decrease is just a temporary blip with probably a comparison to a good month of December 2016. So the real message here is that loan growth is accelerating, and when you look on the next page 9, you understand that it's coming from corporate loans, mostly because deleveraging is almost over. Again, you can see that during 2015, corporate loan growth was in negative territory. So we're back to a more normal situation with the loan growth approximately equal to nominal GDP growth. The other message on page 10 is that the quality of loan is improving with the first drop in NPLs witnessed in the Moroccan market for the past 5 years. Now, in Egypt is a new market for us with the first consolidation of Tijari Wafa Bank Egypt in May 2017. And it has been a rough ride, as many of you have witnessed, since the floating exchange rate regime in 2016 with high inflation, higher interest rates, but also significant improvement in the foreign currency reserve situation, and a stable, if not favorable, exchange rate movement since then. There has been a 100 basis point key interest rate cut in February 2018, and we're expecting more cuts to come in 2018. And then the other important countries are Tunisia, where the situation remains a little bit difficult in terms of foreign exchange reserves and in terms of inflation, with inflation above 4%, and also a negative impact in terms of exchange rate on our accounts, because the Tunisian dinar lost 12% compared to the dirham, both in average and in spot price between 2016 and 2017. In Senegal and in Ivory Coast, good growth, low inflation, controlled budget deficit despite high government spending, probably also because of good performance in collecting tax revenue. And a stable currency. Actually, the stability in terms of average rate is not true in terms of spot rate because of the rally of the euro to the dollar at the end of the year. So both XOF and XAF have moved up towards or compared to the dirham between end of 2016 and end of 2017 by 5%. Now we can move to the IFRS consolidated financial statements. You have a number of indicators on page 14, but I will first elaborate on the changes in the consolidation scope and look at it from the net income group share perspective. So the 13.3% growth in our accounting figure is explained only by only 2 points of growth are coming from the change in scope, which is the inclusion for 8 months of Atijari Wafa Bank Egypt and the reduction in our participation in Wafa Assurance for the full 12 months. So despite this difference in terms of contribution, the overall contribution was positive by the equivalent of 2 points. If you look at it on a full year basis, the impact is closer to 5 points, which can be summarized into, 10 more points coming from Egypt, but then 5 points lost to the contribution or the lost contribution of Wafa Assurance. And then another way also to look at it is look at the different contributions. So the first reason is really organic growth in Morocco, which explains approximately half the increase. Then the second biggest, and this is 300 million dirhams, and then the second one is, again, organic growth at the international retail banking level. And then as a third factor, it would be the perimeter, and then the fourth factor is the combination of all the others. Now, on page 17, you have the structure of the net banking income that has increased by 10% and 6.3% at the constant exchange rate and scope. The composition itself hasn't changed significantly except for the international retail banking contribution that has moved from 29% to 32%. The growth of that net banking income is distributed along different business units. And the important thing to note is that in the international retail banking division, even without the contribution of Egypt, we witnessed an 11.3% growth at a constant exchange rate and scope. So continued growth, double-digit growth at the international retail banking level. And then we can look more closely at the net interest income by business line. So you have on your left the consolidated figure that grew by 11.2% and 5.6% constant exchange rate and scope, which should be compared to a 3.6% growth in consolidated loans at constant exchange rate and scope. So that proves a particular effort that was made to increase our interest rate margin. And we had very different dynamics in different markets. So in Morocco, we had strong pressure on the yields, especially coming from large corporates because of competition. And we met that pressure on yield by lowering significantly our cost of funding. And then in the international retail banking level, as you can see at the bottom of page 19, we lowered our growth rate and focused on the most profitable part of the demand. Instead of traditionally double-digit growth in loans in international retail banking, we only witnessed a 5% growth at constant exchange rate and scope, but still generated a 12.6% growth in the contribution or the net interest margin generated from international retail banking. And then you have a focus on that part in particular, so the loan growth in international retail banking, with this 5% growth rate coming from mostly from West Africa, because in Central Africa it was a contraction, so the pursuit of the contraction of our balance sheets mostly in Gabon and in Congo, because we were witnessing a poor economic environment and an increase in the cost of risk or deterioration of the risk profile and tightening liquidity. And then in North Africa, the accounting figure in dirham shows only a plus 1% growth, but it was actually a very good performance in Tunisia, where at constant exchange rate, the growth was 15.4%, but it was unfortunately cancelled by the negative or adverse movement of exchange rates. Then on the next page, you have the result. The end result of that is that our NIMs in Morocco have increased by 6 basis points, and in the international retail banking division, excluding Egypt, a growth of 23 basis points. So in terms of fees, we had a good year, I would say, pursuit of all our efforts, and the most important that should be noted is in Morocco, where we're seeing a continued improvement in our capability to sell the right products to the right people and continue posting high single-digit growth in the net fee income. The perspective there is in the future to continue this kind of effort with, for instance, a new IT system that will be deployed in all our branches in Morocco before the end of the year, that gives all the necessary information in just one screen to all our salespeople in the branches. So this is really a very important point to note in terms of potential growth in the future. And the other element is coming from an exceptionally bad year in Central Africa, where trade and investment was were hurt by the negative circumstances in these two countries. But as we saw earlier, the situation is improving. For income from market activity, no real comment, except that in Morocco, despite this difficult environment in terms of bond trading, we were able to first control the performance of bond trading by trading lower or shorter maturities and increasing volume, but also that we benefited from a very good environment for Forex, with higher volume, higher margins, etc. And then next page, we're talking about expenses. So the accounting figure of 9.2% should be understood as 5.5% at constant exchange rate, which we consider very good, especially given the fact that we continue investing heavily in IT, following the or in order to execute our strategic plan Energy 2020. And then cost of risk overall has been stable, with a deterioration of only 2 basis points, and the coverage ratio has improved. You have on the next page the breakdown of expenses by business line. The cost-income ratio is stable in Morocco and is improving in at the international retail banking division, even without Egypt. So Egypt accelerates this improvement, but without Egypt, it would have dropped anyway by 2 points, from 52.8 to 50.6%. And then the cost of risk picture is an improvement in Morocco, which we had already started to witness in the first half, but a deterioration in the international retail banking division. You see also the on the next page the NPL and the coverage. So at the international retail banking division, we see also a deterioration of the NPL ratio. And you have a further detail of that by region, where we see the deterioration concentrating in Central Africa, significant deterioration from 5.5% to 7.5%, and also in Western Africa, particularly concentrated in Mali, with a deterioration by 1.4 points. And then an improvement in Tunisia. I think on page 29, we try to summarize the history of NPLs and coverage ratios, but also of cost of risk, and we see that the significant increase that we noticed is now getting back progressively to a more normal situation. We're still unsure of where it's trending, but probably somewhere between 50 and the 72 basis points. This is without taking into account any IFRS 9 impact. I think we can then go directly to page 31. To page 32, which is the net income group share. We talked already about the constant scope, but we can also see the different business units' contribution. So in Morocco, or BNET is the bank in Morocco, but also Europe and Tangier offshore. So that business unit contribution to net income group share is up 15%. Same thing, international retail banking contribution is up 15% without the contribution of Egypt. For specialized financial companies, it's almost flat, plus 1%. And the insurance reduction is purely due to perimeter impacts. Then you have the detailed contribution of the largest individual contributors. I won't comment those. You have the ROA by business line with an improvement overall by 7 basis points. But this is, again, based on only 8 months of Egypt. So if Egypt had been consolidated for the full 12 months, we would have had 3 more basis points increase. And this is coming from Morocco, mostly because of the improvement in the cost of risk and in the net interest margin, but also to the international retail banking with a very positive or significant contribution of the addition of Egypt on its statutory account has an ROA of 4%. So it moves the needle significantly. If it had been consolidated for the full year, the ROA of international retail banking would have been 2.03%. And then you have the full history of ROA by business line since 2009. And we can move then to the regulatory ratio section. And the 2017 or end of 2017 figures are not the final figures that need to be reported to the Central Bank by the end of the month, but they are a very good estimate of what we think our ratios are, so we are fully compliant, obviously with depending on how you see it with the buffers that are enough to protect us from any negative shock, but probably going to progressively increase in the future. And then for liquidity, a ratio that is way above the minimum requirement of 80%. And then you have the history of the share price with 2017 that was very favorable to our stock with a performance of 17.2% compared to 6% for the market. And you have a summary of our multiples. With that, I would like to thank you and open it up for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question via the phone lines, please firmly press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute button is disengaged so that your signal can reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question, and we will pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for a question. And for our first question, we go to Al Correa with RWC Partners.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for the call. I have a couple of questions, if you don't mind. Where do you see Egypt in terms of asset contribution, in terms of loans? What do you expect it for the next year as a percentage of total loans and assets? My second question, can you give us some color on the multiples that was paid for the acquisition, what exchange rate? And my last question is about the capital adequacy ratio. You're slightly above the regulatory ratio, while the LCR is very strong. Given the loan growth expectation and deposits you have, do you think you will need to raise capital anytime soon? Thank you so much.
So, alors, l'Égypte, la contribution aux actifs et au crédit dans les prochaines années.
I didn't get your second question about the multiple and exchange rate of what?
If you can give us some color on the acquisition itself, what was it made at, what multiples, and what exchange rate it was closed at, the Egyptian currency, what was the rate that you guys closed at, or the multiple price to book that you've paid for the acquisition?
So the acquisition, we won't comment, but there has been some public information during the transaction. We didn't deem it necessary to correct the figures that were circulated then, so that should be a good element for you. In terms of contribution of Egypt, it is very, very small and will remain small for the assets and loans, so I think it's 2%.
Yeah, it will be contributing as of the end of 2017 at 3% of loans and assets and 10% of net income group share. And we expect a growing contribution over the coming 5 years.
But it shouldn't be understood at the asset level, and more so at the net income and growth of net income level, just because of the difference in terms of ROA between Egypt and the rest of our footprint. And then maybe the capital adequacy ratio.
To make sure that I got this right, so you expect it to continue to be a small portion of the overall portfolio. You said you expected. Now it's 2%, so it's not going to be more than 5% in the next 5 years, right?
It's a good assumption. Unless we make another acquisition,
Okay, got it. Thank you. And in terms of the capital,
but the ambition. Let me just then elaborate a little bit more, because despite the fact that it will remain small in the consolidated accounts, at least on the asset side, inside the Egyptian market, our ambitions are high, because we want to move from 1% market share to 2% market share. So we will need to grow significantly faster than the competitors. But the potential is there. The market is huge, and we have the right talent and the right systems, the right relationships also to grow faster, because for years Barclays had kept or had slowed down the growth of its subsidiary, and now the full potential can be unleashed, obviously in full compliance with our risk management processes.
Maybe Rashid on the capital adequacy.
In Morocco, the minimum requirements are 8% for the common equity tier 1 and 9% regarding the overall tier 1. We are managing currently to maintain buffers between 60 to 80 basis points with regard to the tier 1. But we have a higher buffer regarding common equity tier 1 of 120 and 150 basis points. We run every year several stress tests, assuming a number of shocks in regard to credit risk. So we assume a very important increase of NPLs. We also assume shocks in terms of default of our main counterparts, etc. Also shocks regarding the interest rate environment. And we, within our, according to our capital management framework, we define the level of buffers regarding the stress tests I described. So currently, the policy is to maintain for the future the same level of buffer. On the other hand,
if you allow me just to ask.
Our level of profitability, if you measure it by our net income over our regulatory capital, is around 20%. So the 20% profitability level allows us to finance our organic growth, which is currently between 5 and 8%, it allows us to also implement several regulatory evolutions and maintain a stable policy in terms of dividends, trying to maintain the relatively high level of payouts.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And as a reminder, that is star 1 to ask a question. And for our next question, we go to Deepka Tolani.
Hi, just a few questions from me. On loan growth, could you give us guidance on Morocco versus Egypt loan growth? Cost of risk with the IFRS 9 provisions, where do you see that going through the cycle? You commented something about 50 to 72 basis points, but if you can tell us the next couple of years with IFRS 9. And the third question is the sustainable ROE from Egypt. How much do you think that can grow till? Is it 12% in 2017? Can we grow that to 14, 15 going forward? Thank you.
I'm sorry, but the quality of the sound was very poor. So if we haven't understood your question, please ask it again. But I understand it's about the loan growth expected in Egypt. And there,
I think the IFRS 9. The
second question is IFRS 9 and its impact on cost of risk, but also on capital. And then the last one was ROA for what?
Sorry, it was ROE for Egypt going forward.
ROE for Egypt
going forward.
Sure. Okay. Yes.
Regarding IFRS 9 impact, we will have an FTA first-time application impact regarding an evolution of the method of calculation of cost of risk. So we will disclose this impact, this FTA impact, when we will release our Q1 accounts, 2018 Q1 accounts. Currently, we are discussing the impact with our board, with our auditors, and with the central bank in order to stabilize the overall amount. We have been also informed by the central bank that they will give us a period of at least 5 years in order to take into account the impact of IFRS 9 on our capital progressively between December 18 and December 2023. So it will be the same case we already had regarding Basel III when it has been implemented in Morocco in 2014. So at that time, the central bank gave us a progressive period as well, a period of 5 years. So we have taken into account the impact progressively. Regarding IFRS 9 impact on cost of risk, Mr. Dwiri actually explained that the expected cost of risk at a constant method would be between 50 and 70 basis points over the near future, in the near future. IFRS 9 would have a slight negative impact on this cost of risk. So we will, in order to summarize, we will have two different phenomena. The first one is the continuous improvement of cost of risk in Morocco at a constant method, which will lead to an improvement of the consolidated cost of risk. And then a negative slight impact regarding IFRS 9. I think the real message here is that IFRS 9 is an effort or a transition that is closely supervised by the central bank, and that the regulatory impact will be assessed so that obviously it will call for additional capital, but no effort that cannot be financed or that can create any particular shock. So this is why the communication so far has been very scarce. It's because we're still calibrating with our central bank how the regulation will be impacting the regulatory ratios.
Any further questions, Mr. Tolani?
Yes, I have a third question about the ROE going forward for Egypt.
The ROE of Egypt in 2017 is 32%. And
is that sustainable going forward, or you think?
Sorry. Going forward, Going forward, we're expecting a slight, very slight decrease. Mainly because we have a very ambitious ambitious strategy focusing on growth and we are expecting a relatively high level of loan growth and it will lead to a slight pressure on margin and on cost of risk. So our ROA should go down, but leverage should go up in the future progressively, because we're starting from a level where the bank is highly capitalized in order to capture a number of large loans. If you're talking longer term, we will progressively develop more, I would say, the smaller corporates and the large SMEs, which should necessitate to maintain less capital in Egypt. And at the same time, probably have some pressure on our yields in order to capture market share. We also expect to enlarge the distribution, the branch network, that could also weigh a little bit on our costs, at least initially,
in addition to the IT system.
In addition to the IT system that is being changed completely, and we will have a new IT system by June this year, and complete the separation from Barclays.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
And as a final reminder, that is star one to ask a question. And for our next question, we go to Jaida Gamal with CI Capital.
Yes, thank you. Can you please tell us why loan growth on the local level weakened in 2017 to 3.4% versus 6.8% in 2016? And given that there are expectations that GDP growth in Morocco could weaken in 2018, how would that translate or affect local loan growth in Morocco in 2018 and 2019? And in Tunisia, given that there are high levels of inflation and expected increase in policy rate, how will it impact also your performance in lending in Tunisia? Thank you.
Je veux prendre sur la Tunisie, comment les perspectives macroéconomiques en Tunisie, est-ce que ça a un impact sur la performance de prêt? Que de la stratégie de crédit en Tunisie.
I will translate Mr. Jay's comment on Tunisia first.
Bon, la Tunisie, effectivement, a procédé à ce changement au niveau du Parlement ces dernières années et de la Banque centrale. Et donc aujourd'hui, il y a une prise de conscience qu'il y a un monde de mesure peut-être.
So we understand that in Tunisia, there has been now a real understanding of how serious the situation is and how important it is to make reforms. And reforms that will need more courage or more determination than in the past.
Voilà. Et donc, dans ce cadre, évidemment, la Tunisie a aussi des atouts, c'est qu'elle dispose d'un tissu économique extrêmement dynamique et qui n'hésite pas à investir donc d'une manière importante, que ce soit au niveau donc de la production industrielle, que ce soit au niveau de l'agro-industrie, que ce soit au niveau de l'activité exportatrice.
And Tunisia has strength in the fact that they have a number of companies that are well structured in order to address export markets, mm-hmm. and that needed this kind of signal in order to start moving.
Voilà. Et pendant toutes ces années, en dépit de la situation donc sociale qui était donc très difficile, nous avons assisté à des progressions donc continues et régulières de la demande de crédit. In
the past, despite the very complex situation in terms of social and political environment, we have witnessed strong demand in terms of loans, both at the retail and corporate level.
Donc la demande de crédit va continuer. Il n'y a pas de raison spécifique pour qu'elle ne progresse pas. Et l'autre banque, particulièrement, s'est positionnée sur les secteurs les plus porteurs en étant quasiment absent de ceux qui connaissent les plus de difficultés, notamment le tourisme.
So that demand, we expect the demand to continue. And in the past, we have been present in all the industries that had good potential and also completely absent from those that were suffering the most, in particular tourism.
Voilà. Et donc, a priori, la performance dans le développement de la banque va continuer. Et ce qu'on attend, c'est que il y ait une progression du chiffre d'affaires sur les prochaines années, une progression des parts de marché, une amélioration continue des résultats tout en maîtrisant les risques.
So in the future, we should continue to see the same kind of growth in terms of loans, and at the same time witness a better situation in terms of risk. And then for the rest of your questions, it had to do, I think, with loan growth slowing down. Is that correct?
On a consolidated basis or in Morocco?
So if I will address that, and if it's incorrect, then we'll see. So in 2017 or 18, we will have a situation where loan growth in Central Africa will go back to positive territory. We continue to see good demand and of acceptable quality in Western Africa. Egypt, we talked about it. Tunisia, we just talked about it. But the big question is always Morocco because of its size in our assets. And there, I think the perspective is probably a little bit better than last year because we are continuing to see this acceleration, even though it is not, I would say, a massive acceleration, but we see same demand coming from SMEs and better tools for us to address even the demand that we were not able to address before coming from very small enterprises, for instance. So we see more and more scoring and relevance of scoring in loan disbursement. And we see for the first time in 2017 and continuing into 2018, higher demands from corporates.
Okay, thank you.
And for our next question, we go to Rahul Shah with Exotic.
Yes, hello. Thank you very much for the detailed presentation. I had questions in three areas. Firstly, regarding your regional strategy, I was just wondering if you could perhaps give us some color on the kind of synergies that you're realizing in your various operations and whether you see much more potential in that area. Related to that, I was wondering if there are any holes in your regional portfolio that you would be looking to fill, and if so, how you'd look to finance any acquisitions, whether it would be through issuing shares or selling assets, what would be your preferred mode of financing. The second area is regarding loans and NPLs. If you could give some details on the mix by economic sector. I think that would be helpful. And the third area is on your deposit funding. If you could help us with the mix between current accounts and time deposits and indicate whether or not that mix has changed substantially over the past year. Thank you.
Okay. So I'll take the first one on regional strategy, maybe NPLs and economic sectors for Mr. Bellage, d'où viennent les créances en souffrance, quel secteur, etc., dans les différents pays. And then deposit fund mix, maybe I should say on how it will. So on regional strategy, the main idea there is that we want to go to markets where we feel we can add value thanks to either our product offering or our understanding of the cycle, the evolution cycle of the economic agents. So, for instance, themes like financial inclusion, like access to credit for SMEs, like change from informal to formal industry, like immigrant banking, so migration, like trade finance, etc. All these are areas where we learned a lot from what happened to Morocco, and then we learned in each new market, and every time we have a new practice, we deploy it in the other markets, obviously depending on the existing context. And then we also focus on cost synergies by mutualizing all the IT, the payments, you know, all the businesses that have high fixed costs and that benefit from mutualization is clearly a candidate for synergies. And finally, we are seeing, in particular after Egypt, the importance to have a real regional approach to corporate banking. So we have, say, regional coverage teams in corporate and investment banking. So, you know, these are broadly speaking the synergies, and obviously in each market we have specific themes being developed. So our big focus currently in Egypt is to keep its very good positioning in corporate banking and in high net worth individuals, but also build a layer that caters to SMEs and to middle-class retail. And for that, we are running several programs with Morocco in particular in order to get the best practices and the products and the different approaches. Now, our portfolio, we're happy with the existing portfolio. There might be some movement, but due to regulation, because in particular in Western Africa, we need to group all our subsidiaries under one bank holding that is housed in the region. So there will be some movement, but there is no particular intention to sell or to lower our stake in any of our existing subsidiaries. Even though it's not impossible in the future if there is a good reason for that, but there is no clear intention. Same thing, there is no clear will to increase our footprint at this stage as we focus all our energy and resources on succeeding the transformation of our new Egyptian subsidiary. Maybe Mr. Bellage for NPLs, and if needed, I can translate.
Contrairement à la situation de la contentieusité des secteurs qui ont été touchés au Maroc et parlé au Maroc, donc la grande entreprise, le taux de sinistralité était proche de zéro cette année. Concernant donc la PME, elle restait environ à 0,86% en termes de coût du risque, et les particuliers professionnels qui sont lancés dans le même niveau, le crédit habitat est à 0,40% en termes de coût du risque.
Mais par secteur économique.
Par secteur économique, donc ce qui a été touché un peu, c'est la distribution, tout ce qui est distribution et négoce de céréales qui commence, qui continue
Donc on peut souffrir du fait de la restructuration des acteurs. On a aussi un peu les BTP qui souffrent du délai de paiement. Et des secteurs aussi de distribution automobile, des marques qui ont perdu des parts du marché et puis qui nous qui ont posé quelques petits problèmes.
So, in Morocco, the NPL increase or the new NPLs are mostly generated by SMEs or by individuals. There was no large corporate default, or at least movement to NPL, downgrade to NPL. And then within the SME segment, the biggest, I'll say, trouble or the toughest industry were either wholesale cereal importers or construction companies that were hit by delays in their payments, mostly by the government, and auto sales distributors with some brands losing significant market share over the years in Morocco.
Le reste, ce qu'on peut citer, c'est qu'en Afrique centrale, donc bien sûr, le contre-coup de la situation économique et les revenus du pétrole ont touché aussi bien des activités pétrolières que des activités qui fournissent industrielles, qui fournissent le secteur donc pétrolier.
In Central Africa, it's all either directly the oil industry or all the companies that offer services to the oil industry. And all the companies and sometimes even individuals who depend from the government spending or payments.
Au Mali, c'est la situation politique qui a fragilisé un peu la situation économique. Et donc on a eu principalement donc une société qui faisait de la production concessionnelle que l'État a repris.
In Western Africa, the only country where the situation was significantly deteriorated was in Mali, and it is mostly due to the complex political situation, and in particular to a company that had a long-term contract with the government and that failed in delivering the service and went into default. Nothing to, you know, no big change in the other countries that it's worth mentioning. For deposit fund mix,
68% of deposits are non-bearing interest, 20% are term deposits, and around 15% are savings accounts. This is with regard to the split by client segments, 75% of deposits are retail deposits, mainly from local individuals and Moroccan living abroad, which means that our deposits are sticky and our cost of funding relatively low compared to other countries. This is the mix in Morocco. And Morocco is contributing for 75% of the consolidated deposits.
Thank you very much.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we have no further questions on our roster. Therefore, I will turn the conference back over to management for any closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for the question and for your attention. You know that we have a website that is dedicated to financial reporting, which is ir.atijariwafabank.com. And you also have the contacts of our VP of Investor Relations, Ms. Ibtissam Abu Haria. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ismail.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.